So I was told that now is the wedding season, and a lot of people wanted to hear about some of the minhagim of chasanas. So we'll begin. With what we know as a widespread minhag that the chasana kala fast on the day of the chasana. Where does that come from and what is that about? So there are four main reasons that are quoted in the Paiskim about fasting for a chasana kala the day of the chasana. Number one is the Yerushalmi writes in Bikurim as follows. Says the Yerushalmi, a chasan gets a mechilas avonis on the day of his chasana. Where does that come from? We learn it out from none other than Esav. Why? Because the Pasuk says, by Esav, Rashi quotes this on Chumash, Vayelach Esav al Yishmal, Vayikach es Machlas Bas Yishmal. Frek the Yerushalmi, Esav went and he married Machlas Bas Yishmal. What do you mean? We know that her name was not Machlas, her name was Basmas. So why does the Pasuk call her over here Machlas? So it says the Yerushalmi that Elamai, what does it mean? Elisha Nimchalu La Avonaseha. That since you get a Mechilas Avonas on the day of the Chasana, so therefore they called her Machlas Bas Yishmal. The day that Esav was marrying this woman, the daughter of Yishmal, she goes by a new name. She's now a woman who has a Mechilas Avonas. So therefore we assume that a person gets a Mechilas Avonas on the day of the Chasana based on the Pasuk by Esav. What's the story by a Zivug Sheni? What's the story by a person by a second marriage? What do we say by such a case?
Maybe Kedai,
right? Don't try this at home. So
how do you know the man? We know the woman. How do you know the man?
So let's get through all the reasons here. So the Yerushalmi seems to imply that both the Chasna and the Kala get a Mechilas Avonos on the day of the Chasna. So what's by Zivug Sheni? So interestingly enough, the Baal HaTurim writes on the Pasuk in Devarim, when it's talking about the Mashuach Mechama who sends everybody home, so the Pasuk says, Naki Yi Yelabeso. The simple understanding of the Pasuk is, he's not mechuyev to go to Mechama, he's not mechuyev to go out to battle, because Naki Yi Yelabeso, he should be clean to his house and go home and spend some time with his wife. Zak the Baal HaTurim, Naki Yi Yelabeso, Zer Remez, Shenimchu Lo Avonoso. Naki Yilabesa, meaning he's going to be clean to his house, that since he just got married, so now he's clean from Averis. We happen to know that the Gemara in Sota says from that Pasuk of Naki Yilabesa is even referring to a second marriage. A person who got married for a second time, and now he's within the Shana Rishona of his second time around, so he's also potter from going to war. So if you put the two things together, it would seem, this is what the Pasuk can quote, it would seem that a second marriage would also be entitled to get a Mechilas Avon. It's not something we should try at home, there is a Yom Kippur every single year. So we should try that before we try the option of going for a second marriage. Anyway, so based on all this...
It wasn't Esav's first marriage.
What?
We just learned it from Esav, it wasn't his first marriage.
How do we know?
He said he went and took a... It was a Nos Kanan before that.
So it was his second marriage.
It wasn't his first marriage. He had already... So I said over there, he didn't divorce the evil women that he had. He just added Risha on top of him.
Very good. Could be.
So I just learned it straight from there.
Okay, that might be a good answer. Very possible. I don't know. Good answer. So Zakta Magen Avraham and Tavkuf Ayin Gimel, that based on this Yerushalmi, that's why a person should fast on the day of a chasana, because it's the day of Mechilas Avonis, and the same way on Yom Kippur we fast, so too we should fast the day of a chasana. Yeah. Oh, what he said? He said that Esav, maybe you should learn out from Esav himself, that Esav was on his second marriage, and that's where the Yerushalmi learns that you get a Mechilas Avonis on the day of the chasana, because Esav already had wives beforehand, and now he goes and marries Machlas Bas Yishmal. So someone made a suggestion here that possibly that's a good mucker to explain why a person on his second marriage should also get a Mechilas Avonos. Sounds good to me. So let's go through all the reasons. Okay, so let's go through all the reasons. So that's the reason of the Yerushalmi. Reason number two that's brought on in Shulchan Aruch, not in the Shulchan Aruch itself, but on one of the Noisei Kelim on the side, B'shem the Mari Mintz is the following, that we're afraid that maybe if the chassan's going to be busy eating and drinking the whole day, maybe he's going to get drunk, and then he's not going to be a bardas at night to be Mekadosh's wife. Or, maybe he won't really actually be drunk, he'll know what he's doing, but people are going to say, oh, you were really drunk, and it's a Kiddush HaTos, and down the line, they're going to cause problems in the marriage. Very interesting. So according to that reason of the Mari Mintz, it would seem that if a woman is getting married off, and her father is doing the Kiddushin, as we find all over Shas, that a Ketana is able to be married off by her father, so then the father would have to fast the day of the chasana. Why? Because the father is the one who has to have the das. He's giving over his daughter to this man. So you have to be careful that the father fasts on the day of the chasana if that happens to be the case. According to this, the Kedushas Levi writes an interesting vart by Eliezer Eved Avram. So the Psukim tell us Eliezer Eved Avram goes to be Mekadosh a woman, to be Mekadosh Rivka to Yitzchak. So the Psukim say that Lavan offers him to come down, sit and eat, and the Pasuk says over there that he puts food in front of him, Vayomer, and Eliezer responds, Lo uchal ad imdibarti. I'm not going to have anything to eat until I speak to you, until I work out the shidduch. Why not? So Zakhti Kedushas Levi, because I'm the shliach of Yitzchak to be Mekadosh the Isha for him. So what? What's the difference? So according to this, it's very Miyushev. If you learn like the Marimim, that the whole reason why we're concerned about a person eating and drinking the day the chasna is because he has to be a bardas, and people are going to say about him that he got drunk and he wasn't having total concentration and das on this marriage. So then, even if you're a shliach to do the kiddushin, we have to make sure you understand what you're doing. So maybe that's what he means. Reason number three that's quoted is that of the Tashbetz, where the Tashbetz has a famous tshuva that all the menhagim of the chasna are based off Maimon Har Sinai. He says the same way we find by Maimon Har Sinai that you had candles called the suvrakim. So too over here we should walk down the aisle with candles. That's why the minhag started that we hold candles as we walk down the aisle. Says the Tashbetz, and he has a whole long arichas of all the different things that are the same, learned out from Maimon Har Sinai, we carry it over to a chasna. So says the Tashbetz, in that line, the Midrashim tell us that Klal Yisrael fasted on the day of Kabbalah Satorah. So he says a chasna and kala the same way should fast on the day of their chasna. Reason number four, which the Stechemet quotes is, which we're going to focus on for the rest of the time, is the reason of the Rokeach. The Rokeach, quoted in the Stechemet, and other Achronim say that since this is a mitzvah chaviva, since getting married is something that's very exciting to us, so the same way we have a concept in other areas of halacha that you're not allowed to eat before you do a mitzvah, so too over here it says the Rokeach, you're not allowed to eat before you do the mitzvah of getting married. Very interesting reason. Now, let's go piece by piece and figure out exactly where does this inyan come from not to eat before one does a mitzvah. So if you look in the Gemara Brachos, there's one din that Daf Yudah Mebei says the Gemara, Lo sochlu al hadam, person is not allowed to eat, as the Gemara darshins, kodem shetispalu al dimchem, before you daven for what you need, you're not allowed to go ahead and involve yourself in eating. Says the Tur in the Shulchan Aruch, what's the halacha regarding tea or coffee or water? So the Mechaber paskins that even though water is usher to drink before Kiddush, right, as we all know on Shabbos, you're not even allowed to drink water before you have Kiddush on Shabbos morning, so too, I would have said the same thing should apply to davening. However, that is not the case. The Mechaber paskins that Kiddush is more chamer, and when it comes to davening, a person is allowed to take a drink of water before he davens. Aruch HaShulchan says that the same way it's mutter for me to drink water, so it's mutter for me to drink tea and coffee, and not only tea and coffee, it's mutter for me to put sugar in, to put milk in, because that's not a person priding himself in having his gaiva before he goes to daven. He's drinking a tea, he's drinking a coffee. That's not something that's so chashuv, that's not something that we take so seriously. So therefore it says the Aruch HaShulchan that a person would be allowed to drink tea or coffee with sugar and milk before he goes ahead and he davens. In the Tshuvas Heshev Moshe, which is quoted in the Stechemet as well, he disagrees and he says no. He thinks that water and drinks, tea and coffee, would be included because the issue over here is that it's maybe shtiyah is bechalal achila. Sometimes in Shas we find such a concept that shtiyah is nichlal achila. So he says it could be over here when Chazal made a takana that a person is not supposed to eat before he davens, so maybe involved in that takana was also incorporated in it, was the issue that a person is not allowed to drink either before he does it. But this Stechemet says that he thinks that the minig is lahachmir, which generally is not our minig. We allow a person to take a drink and to have coffee and tea before he davens, that's okay, especially if it's going to keep him up, that would be okay. So that's something that is up for discussion, and the Stechemet is not so convinced. Rav Asher Weiss once told me an interesting maramakum that the Reb Chaim Palagi writes in the Sefer Nefesh Chaim that where is the makor in the Torah that a person is not supposed to eat before he does a mitzvah? We have the Sochel al Adam, that's with regard to davening. But what about other mitzvahs? Where do we ever find such a concept? As we find in Shulchan Aruch, it's paskin like this, in Hilchos Lulav, Tafresh Nun Beis, a person is not allowed to eat before he shakes a lulav. Same thing comes up in Tafresh Tzadi Beis when he's talking about Hilchos Megillah. A person is not allowed to eat anything before he hears Megillah. And the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha there writes that there's not only a concept that applies to Megillah and Lulav, there's something that applies to all mitzvahs. A person is not supposed to involve himself in eating and drinking before he does the mitzvah that is at hand. So says Reb Chaim Palagi, this comes from, the makor of this is from a pasuk in Mishpatim. Va'avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem, u'birach es lachmecha v'esmei mecha. He says it's a play on the words. First, va'avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem, a person has to make sure to take care of the mitzvahs of avadat Hashem. He has to make sure to fulfill the mitzvah that he's expected to do. And then, u'birach es lachmecha v'esmei mecha. Then only after he's finished with his mitzvah is he allowed to go ahead and make a bracha on his eating and on his drinking that he's going to do subsequently. So that's the makor that he found. Reb Chaim Palagi finds in the Psukim and Chumash. Okay, be it as it may, we have a very interesting Pesach Tshuva as well. The Pesach Tshuva in Yeredeya, along this line of thinking, writes that a father or a moel, the day of a bris, is not allowed to eat before he does the bris on his child or before the moel does the mila on the child. Now, you know, they have They have a Mayla in Eretz Yisrael who apparently does like 30 brisim a day. He's just running from one bris to the next. So imagine a guy like that. All day you're going to say he's never allowed to eat because he's running from one bris to the next. He's going to be fasting all day long. So that obviously can't be the case. We're talking about a regular Mayla who does one bris. It's Zakta Pischa Tshuva that a person should not eat on the day of a bris because we're concerned he's going to get so caught up with the eating and drinking and he's going to forget to do the mitzvah properly. He's not going to do it as he should. Maram Shik has a famous Tshuva where he disagrees. And he says, no, the only time we say a person's not allowed to eat before doing a mitzvah is in a case, for example, Mikra Megillah. If I don't do the Mikra Megillah on time, then I lost my whole mitzvah. If I don't do the shaking of the lulav today, if I'm too involved in eating and drinking, I'm going to lose the whole thing. But Zakta Maram Shik, if I don't do the bris today, I could do it tomorrow. If I don't do the Pinna Ben today, I could do it tomorrow. So he says it's not a mitzvah of Veres. Zakta Maram Shik, therefore I disagree with the Pischa Tshuva's Chiddush, and I think that you would be allowed to eat or drink before you fulfill the mitzvah of bris milah or the mitzvah of pidyon haben. Other achronim, exactly. Other achronim disagree. Exactly like you're saying. What do you mean? It is a mitzvah of veris. Yom Hashmini is a specific mitzvah that's given by bris milah. We have a chiyuv to do it on the eighth day. If it happens to be that you can't be mekayim on the eighth day for whatever reason it might be, so then we extend the period and we say you're still mechuyev to do it the next day. However, you can't assume that bris milah or pidyon haben is not a mitzvah of veris. Obviously, a person is supposed to take care of the pidyon haben on the 30th day, Yom Lamed Aleph actually, or when it comes to the bris milah, he's supposed to do it on the 8th day, and the fact that he has a chiyuv, which is continuous, does not indicate at all that it's not a mitzvah of veris. So therefore, we would generally be machmir and assume that a person should try not to eat before doing the bris milah or before doing the pidyon haben. Now, for those who have just started the Daf Yomi, a very interesting nafka mina where this would come up is on the first Mishnah in Brachos. The Mishnah tells us, when is a person supposed to begin to say Kriya Shema at night? So what's the time? Right? When is the time for Zman Kriya Shema Balayla? When the Kohanim begin to eat Shuma at night. Frektim Arsha, how can you say that the Kohanim are eating Shuma at the Zman Kriya Shema? It's Asar Ba'achila. Once the Chiyuv of Kriya Shema sets in, because now I have to say Kriya Shema, so how am I allowed to be eating Shuma? Obvious Kasha.
First, they will do all the
davening,
and then you eat.
Right. Sure. So how could this be? So how can the Mishnah tell me that the time that I know that it's the Zman of Kriya Shema is the time when the Kohanim begin to eat Shuma? Well, how are the Kohanim allowed to eat Shuma? We know that you're not allowed to eat at the time of a mitzvah. So what's going on? They have to say Kriya Shema first, and then eat Shuma. So then the Zman doesn't work out. So that's the Marsha's Kasha. Marsha blab is a tarachim. Marsha's not sure what exactly the pshat is. Dr. Tzlach picks up on this. The Panim Yafus I saw has a pshat in Parshas Emor. Very strange pshat, Zakta Panim Yafa, that it's hischilu beheter. As we know, the Gemara says, Himsachim daf kuf beis, that a person who's hischil beheter, if he begins to eat his suda beheter, so then we don't make him stop later on, once the Zman Isser sets in. So what do you mean? Hischil beheter, so then what's the Gemara's being kaveh Zman? They started now, they started before. Very hard to understand. Very hard. So he says, the Hafla and the Panim Yafa writes that they started eating chulin, now they start eating chuma, they switch over in the middle of the meal. Very strange pshat. So the Panim Yafa is definitely not the pashup pshat. Zakta Tzlach, I think the pshat is the following. When do we say there's an isser for a person to eat before doing a mitzvah? That's only when he's involving himself in a regular eating experience. He's just sitting down to eat. He's sitting down to drink like a hungry man. So then we're concerned that he's going to get very caught up with his eating and he's going to forget about his mitzvah. However, when this is an achilas mitzvah, when he's eating truma, so lo gazer be'rabam. When a person is involving himself in an achilas mitzvah, so then, zak tetzlach, we don't have to worry about being nimshach after your achila, we don't have to worry about getting so carried away with the food because you're doing a achilas mitzvah and therefore that would be okay. That's the way he answers this kasha. Frektis vasamis on brachas, what do you mean? We have, let's say, on Shabbos. Shabbos is a sudas mitzvah, yet the mechaber paskins that on Shabbos, person is not allowed to eat a sudas mitzvah before he says kriyashma. For example, a person davens, there's a big nafkamina, a person davens early mincha Friday afternoon, early ma'ariv also. So he has to repeat kriyashma at home. So generally, if he starts his meal before it gets dark outside, so then it's okay. He's hischil beheter, then we assume he should say Kriya Shema afterward. Although we all know good and well that people forget every single week to say Kriya Shema because they wait till the end of the meal and then they fall asleep. However, if hischil beheter, so on the books, a person's allowed to do that. But if you wait long enough, if you get home and everyone's schmoozing until you make Kiddush, it's already dark outside, you are not allowed to make Kiddush until you say Kriya Shema. That's Mufurshin Shulchan Aruch. So Frektis Vasemis, we know that's the din. Ay, Suda Shabbos is a mitzvah, and yet over there the Mechaber paskins that it's usher for a person to eat Suda Shabbos before he says Kriya Shema. So you do see that we would be concerned, even when it comes to an Achilas Mitzvah, we're also concerned that a person is not allowed to eat an Achilas Mitzvah before he's doing a specific mitzvah. There is an interesting Shaila that was raised. by Reb Zilberstein to his father-in-law, Reb Yashiv. He wanted to know, am I allowed to eat my Sudas Purim before I do my mitzvah of Shalach Manos? Interesting shot. I thought this is a... so you would say that they're both mitzvahs. Rabbi Yashiv said two svaras l'hakel. Number one, why is it mutter? He says, because they're both mitzvahs. Who told you that the mitzvah of Shalach Manos is more important than the mitzvah of Sudas Purim?
Right,
who said this is first, this is second? Let me do whatever mitzvah I'm interested in doing now, and then I'll get to the mitzvah later. So that was one svar that he said. Second svar that he said was an interesting one that, based on this slach, that sometimes when I have a Sudas mitzvah, maybe there's not a concern. Whatever he was back and forth about, he wasn't sure. I spoke to my father about this today, so he said, most Achronim believe that no, you're not going to be Mekayim your mitzvah at all if you don't have the Sudas Purim first. Why? Because what's the Shalach Manos all about? Shalach Manos is supposed to be extending my Sudas Purim out to my friends. I'm supposed to be giving a chelek of my Sudas Purim and sharing it with everybody else. I'm supposed to be enabling them to have a Sudas Purim. So he says, if I don't have my Sudas Purim first, so then I'm not going to be Mekayim my mitzvah b'shalei Musa of Shalach Manos. So that's what we... So, really, so that's why Reb Zsolti writes that Yemei Mishta V'Simcha, by Sudas Purim, the day is supposed to be an entire day of partying, an entire day of Suda. It's not that you have one Suda and that's it. You're supposed to have a whole day of Suda. So you're supposed to eat his Shalach Manos for your Suda, he's supposed to eat it for his. Everyone's supposed to be involved.
That's why you give it out first.
Yeah.
Everybody should be part of it.
Yeah, everyone should be a part of it. So that's an added svar. When it comes to a chasen and kalah fasting on the day of the chuppah, let's just close this up over here. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that obviously, b'makom chulsha, if a person is sick, if he's not feeling well, so then he should not fast. However, the Aruch HaShulchan warns us, and he says a person should be careful that he shouldn't eat or drink my dvarim hamishakrim. He shouldn't eat something that's going to make him drunk, because if you go back to the original reason why we're not allowed to eat on the day, it's because a person is supposed to be careful not to be drunk. That's what the chashash is. The Zakhtar Aruch HaShulchan, a person should be careful. The Beis Shmuel writes in Evna Ezer that this, although a person sometimes has to eat or drink on the day of the chasana because he's just not holding my fasting, Zakhtar Beis Shmuel, a person should be careful still to use it as a Yom Tfilah and Yom Tachanunim, Yom Torah. A person should take it as a serious day. It's not a joke. It's the day before Mechilas Havanos. It's a day of a special time for him. So therefore, he should take it pretty seriously. Rav Moshe even discusses in a tshuva, what do you do if you're getting married on the day after Atinus? Let's say the day after Yom Kippur, after Tisha B'Av. So what are you supposed to do? I just fasted Tisha B'Av. I'm falling apart. Right, so what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to fast the next day again? I can't handle 2 days in a row. So Rav Moshe discusses this in a tshuva. It's not such a simple thing. My father told me two interesting stories today. He said that Rav David Lifshitz, who used to be the Mashgiach in YU, the Suvalka Rav, so he said that my father told me that every time Rav David Lifshitz would walk into a chasana, the first thing he would do is run over to the women's side and ask someone, please make sure the kala had something to eat. There are too many chasanas I've been at where the kala fainted. Make sure they give her a drink. That's what you always say right away. He said, the Aruch HaShulchan says that we should be mekel, and the women a lot of times are not as strong as the men are. So my father said every wedding he would go to, Rav David Lifshitz would run in and say, give a drink to the kala. We don't want her to faint out of the chuppah, and it happens all the time. That was one interesting story. Another story that he told me was that Rav Soloveitchik used to say in shir all the time, that when his parents got married, so Reb Chaim sent a letter to his mother, to the Kala, who was about to get married and about to become his daughter-in-law, that it's a sakana for you to fast because you're a woman and you're not so strong, so I would like you to eat on the day of the chasana, I don't want you to fast. So she wrote back to him a note. By the way, the Rav of the city is my father, Reb Elia Pruzhner, not Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, and Reb Elia Pruzhner is the Paisik Ha'ir, and he told me that I should fast, so I'm going to listen to him and not to you. Have a nice life. So... Apparently, Rav Soloveitchik said that because of that snazzy personality that she had, she was snappy and was able to talk back to him, so Rav Chaim apparently liked her very much. She was confident that her father gave her the psak, and that was what she followed, and she wasn't going to go change them and hug him because Rav Chaim was nervous about his daughter-in-law. So that was the thing. I know by my wedding, and my father said the same thing happened by his, we got married after Shkia. So what's the halacha then? Should we assume that a person has to fast the whole day, even after Shkia, until the chuppah, or do we assume he's allowed to break it? So my father said the minhag always was, when he grew up, that a person is allowed to break the fast before the chuppah, and he doesn't have to fast all the way straight through. We assume he had his mechilas havanos, he had his enough fasting for the day, and by my wedding, I know he told me we should go and have something to eat, and then we went out to have the chuppah afterward, which was way after Shkia. So we'll continue with some of the halachos of chasanas and some of the minhagim in the coming days.